What a different sounding Peter we hear from in today's Acts of the Apostles. How is it this tough fisherman, cursing at and frightened by a little schoolgirl only days earlier, now has the nerve to yell boldly to the crowds? Is this the same guy who fell asleep after being asked to stay awake a short while? We really love this Peter character here at this parish, don't we? He reminds me of that kid in the schoolyard growing up who punched a little beyond their weight class, but only when their big brother was around. Well, my six brothers and I would spend hours getting ready for the dance on Saturday nights. It was easy to charm the admission cost out of our mom's tenderness, but we were shy and timid and often needed, well, a little more courage. On one occasion, we pooled our funds together and sent the oldest to purchase a small bottle of additional courage. We were sure it would help us overcome any of our awkwardness with the ladies. But on our way to the dance, my brother, carrying our precious courage in his back pocket, slipped and fell on the ice. There was a terrible crash. Slowly, after getting to his feet, he reached behind to feel the wet of his clothing, and then he looked heavenward with near tears in his eyes, and he said, "Lads, I hope to God that's blood and not our courage flowing on the street." I learned later we really didn't need that kind of courage. There were much better spirits available, but it did seem to work on occasion. What a deal it would be if Christians today in all our brokenness had access to such life-giving drink. Well, friends, we do. Blood spilled from the body of our Lord. Poured out for all humanity. And this is what Peter has consumed until it has filled him and circulates in his very veins. His heart pumps the blood of Jesus, our Savior. He and the other apostles have been taught and nourished by the words of Jesus, and now with the experience of death, resurrection, and through the blood of the unstained lamb, are enlightened and their faith strengthened with new courage. Shortly we will leave these pews and come in unison. After raising our common prayer and exchanging a gesture of peace with one another, we will make our way to these tables of word and Eucharist to receive blessing, body, and blood of Christ. Let us envision ourselves as though walking together on a road to a tiny village where we will be offered the very drops of blood collected in chalices from at the foot of the cross. Nobody gets ill sharing these chalices, only healthier, more courageous, and filled with the life of God. Peter became stronger, not weaker, from sharing the blood of Christ, and it is the more complete expression of our communion with one another that Mother Church encourages. We are unified and set free by this precious blood. But our Lord is in a playful mood as he joins two individuals sadly making their way back to tiny Emmaus. We often discover great humor at these intersections where the impossible meets the possible. Remember barren and elderly Sarah laughing at the angel come to announce she will bear a child? For the even more elderly, Abraham. Yeah, sure, she thinks. The name given to that miracle child is Isaac, which of course means laughing. Or the Samaritan woman at the well. Yeah, I know you don't have a husband. You have five of them. You know, still, it seems these travelers have come across the only person who doesn't know what's been going on in the city. A mysterious stranger and drifter pursuing them more intently than they could ever have imagined. The stranger brings and sure knows the scriptures inside and out. A gift brought like fuel is to a bonfire. It's all quite impressive, and so they invite the drifter in. Their hearts ignited from the kindling of scripture and presence melts away any fear of this stranger. Disarmed and unthreatened, they are ready to take a chance on getting to know one another a little better. They have something in common. Jesus has knocked on their hearts, and they have responded. I wonder, though, who is really host and who is guest for this dinner date? People who come to my door greeted, I hope, cordially. But when you come and sit at my table, well, now you're my friend. And brothers and sisters, resurrection and Easter are about meeting and befriending God in new ways. And they are about allowing God to see us more naked. At the supper table, the couple's wandering companion takes some bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it. The four great Eucharistic actions: receiving, blessing, breaking, and sharing, repeated time and time again at Holy Mass. It appears hearts set ablaze from having opened the scriptures and shared a meal together are finally recognized and able to recognize the glorified and risen Jesus. That's it. And this is all Jesus needs to communicate. Do you recognize me? After so, we are never the same. Together dancing with this strange and mysterious God, and after sharing a laugh or two, well, we are compelled to move on and tell others. But will we allow our walk with Jesus to recreate us as it did the couple traveling to Emmaus? Can we allow the blood of Christ to chase away our fears and sadness, replacing these with instead courage, joy, and full life? People with such marvelous news would have but one thing to do. It would be to burst into song and dance, praising and participating with renewed vigor in the life of our God, who promises always to dwell among us. Amen.